Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. This is the final episode of 2014, and I want to thank you so much, truly, for making this such an amazing few months. There's so many of you out there listening, tweeting me, hitting me on Facebook, emailing me, and it is truly amazing. And 2015 is going to be even bigger and even better. If you want to join me personally and make 2015 your year, HTE Insider is a mastermind group that I put together. There's only 25 spots. I believe there's 16 left, and we're starting up next week. It's going to be a group of 25 like-minded, inspired people creating and just doing awesomeness together. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun and truly an amazing experience. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/insider. Check it out. See if it's right for you. Today's guest is clearly on a path to success, and I am really happy to have him on the show today. He's a self-described everyday guy who is passionate about connecting with others, communicating, leveraging new media, and cultivating a community of like-minded citizens. And he does this amazingly. He is a co-founder of the Podcast Movement, the first and only one that I know of conference solely based around podcasting. My guest and his co-founders came up with the idea, I believe it was past June, took it to Kickstarter looking for $11,000 in funding, and they received $31,854 from 281 backers. They did all of this with no email list, no pre-existing lists of any sort. All they had was people that they thought they could reach out to for support. And they did. 600 people attended in August, and I unfortunately didn't make it to the Podcast Movement 2014, but I will absolutely be there in 2015, and I hope to see some of you HTEers there. It's going to be fun. My guest is also the host of Star of the Doubts. Star of the Doubts is a huge inspiration for me when creating Hack the Entrepreneur, and I cannot recommend his podcast enough. He is also an author and a much sought-after speaker on new media. Now, let's hack Jared Easley. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. More than just a sponsor, FreshBooks plays a huge role in keeping me and my business organized and profitable. And this is really, really obvious to me now, having just gone through another year end. Usually the end of the year would be an incredible headache for me and my accountant, but not this year. Now, rather than handing my accountant a giant box of papers and receipts, I simply email her my reports, journal entries, and it's not only easier, but it's way more cost-effective than paying her to sort through it herself. The best part was that it was so easy to learn how to use, and whenever I've had an issue, their support team is awesome. They're voted the number one customer support team in the world. With FreshBooks support, help is forever free, and I get to speak to a real, live human every single time. Try FreshBooks for free today and for 30 days with no obligation. Setup only takes a minute, no credit card is required, and you can cancel at any time. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section when signing up. Okay, I want to welcome to the show today somebody I'm really, really excited to have on here. This was kind of almost last minute, and I'm really, really looking forward to this. Jared Easley, welcome to the show.
John, I am honored to be here. Well, you and I just talked about this probably yesterday, and thank you for lowering your standards to have me on your show one day later.
Oh, this is going to be great. All right, Jared, let's jump right into this.
Gladly.
As an entrepreneur, I want to know, can you tell me what specifically you do, Jared, that you think maybe other people don't, but that has been a big contributor to your successes so far?
Well, I won't say that other people don't, but I will say one thing I found that really works well for me is to notice other people. So when you're online and you're trying to do any kind of business or you're trying to share your idea, you want that idea or your business to get noticed. And what I found that works really well is if you want to get noticed, you have to start by noticing other people. And there's some folks that miss that. So what that means to me is if you have your target person, your target listener, your target audience, and you can connect with that person. Let's pretend they have a blog for a minute. If you go and read their blog and you comment on that blog post and then tweet that out and tag their name, they're going to appreciate that, especially if they're kind of newer to blogging. But most people appreciate it when you comment on their blog post and you share it out. And then if for some reason your target person is not a blogger, and that could be very possible, maybe they're on social media. That's likely these days. So you could just comment on their social media post. And again, the key here, John, is authenticity and generosity, right? You don't want to just go comment or share something just because. You want to do it because that's the person that you want to serve, right? And so this is coming from an abundance mentality. And if for some reason that person's not on Facebook, then an email of encouragement, or, hey, you know, I like what you're doing, or something simple, like, how was your weekend, or something, just something to get the conversation going. And I would say, especially for the small business person, if you just made a list, let's make this manageable. If you said five people that your target person that you want to speak to, and you notice those same five people on a weekly basis for several weeks, I would say is likely to happen is those people will start to notice you back. There's a rapport that will be built between you and that person because you're doing something for them, right? And then that rapport typically has a tendency to generate reciprocity. So if you're doing something nice for them, some people think, well, man, John is hooking me up. I probably need to listen to his latest podcast, or I need to go check out what he's up to. And as you're consistently being generous, these people are going to notice that, and they're going to talk about that. They're going to share that with their friends or their network. And that's what I call building the army. And yeah, it's just five people, but you compound that and you do that on a regular basis with more people, that becomes an army. So when you're by yourself and you're trying to get noticed, most people won't notice you when you're alone. But when you have an army, people will notice you. So in order to build the army, it starts with noticing other people. That generates rapport, which then yields reciprocity. And with John, if you're just saying, hey, look at me, most people won't. But if you have other people saying, hey, look at John, most people will.
that's great. So what if I'm a guy and, well, I mean, I am a guy that only has, say, 1,000 followers on Twitter. And I mean, to some people, that's even a lot. What if I have 100 followers on Twitter? Does Jared Easley even care that I tweet out his latest podcast or blog post, even though I really, really, like, it resonated with me and I liked it? Do you think that's a reason not to do it?
Okay, that's a good point, John. So the person that you're targeting in this particular strategy, yeah, it's the person that you want to speak to. But if the person that you want to speak to has hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter, they're less likely to care if you notice them, John. So I think this is a good disclaimer. It's wise to connect with people that are on top of the mountain, so to speak. But I think there's just even more opportunity when you can look at the people who are at the bottom, who are climbing up, and find a way to notice them, because they're going to appreciate it even more. So that person that has that 100 Twitter followers, if you're connecting with them, it's possible they're going to appreciate that much more than the person who has 10,000 followers.
Yeah, I agree. And you want to connect with the people at the top, but you can't start there typically. And those people are they're getting retweeted and Facebook liked by so many thousands of people all the time. And you never know, that person with 100 Twitter followers might have a giant business and they just don't even care about Twitter, just started on Twitter. And like, you just don't know these things, right? It's not good to, I guess, generalize and sort of put people in a certain category that you think they're at.
Oh, I definitely agree with that, John. And again, it's about being generous, and you are wanting to serve that person on some level. You are interested in what they have to say or what they're up to. If your mindset is anything other than that, I don't think this strategy is probably the best one for you.
Right. Perfect. So, Jared, can you tell me about when you realized that you were an entrepreneur?
Well, I had a day job and I worked really hard at this particular company, and I was with them for a few years. And one of my goals there was to be the top biller in the entire company. In order to do this, I was going to have to put in insane hours. I was going to have to generously connect with clients, and I was going to have to figure out some strategies to be creative with the way that I did business with my clients, because there were a lot of people who'd been in the company a lot longer than me, and they had bigger opportunities than I was going to get because of my seniority level or lack thereof. And I made it a goal. I was going to figure out a way to hack the system and become the top biller for this company. And so I started paying attention to that. I started having conversations with people who'd won that award in the past, trying to figure out some ideas on what they recommended. And I got enough advice to pursue that. And all year long, I monitored it. I measured it. I worked really diligently at it. And at the end of the year, I was the top biller in that entire company. And I thought, man, this is it. I did it. You know, and I worked crazy hard on this, John. And I'll never forget, I got invited to stand up in front of the company and I received some kind of plaque and I got a $6,000 bonus. And I really believe, like, man, that was awesome. I set a goal. I reached that goal. And then the following week happened, John. and you probably see where this is going. It was like the reset button on Nintendo back in the day and you're playing, you know, video games with your, you know, on the NES system.
Yeah.
It was like, it started all over again. What have you done for me lately? And anybody who sells, they're going to understand that. And that to me was the moment when I realized, ooh, you know, I've climbed a ladder to realize I'm probably not even on the right wall. And yeah, that was so disheartening, John, that I realized I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the patience to go through all that hard work again this following year to try. I'll kill myself if I do that. You know, it was like that was the most brutal year in terms of just going all in. And to try to repeat that, it was like, I don't think so. And that's when I started really being more serious about reading books about people who are being successful, listening to podcasts. And that's really what opened the door for me to start thinking differently. And I'm so glad that happened because that was a catalyst for me into different decisions that I'm making now.
Excellent. So can we move on to your habits? You, from the outside, from social media, like I don't know you personally, Jared, but from social media, it seems like you just had the podcast movement, the first ever like podcaster based convention, right? And there was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Everybody's raving how big of a success it was. You run Star of the Doubts podcast and there's a business based around that now. Yet you have a beautiful daughter that you spend so much time with that I admire because I have a daughter that I love to spend as much time with as I can too. But there's a trick to these things. There's got to be a trick to running these businesses, starting these big things that get bigger than yourself, yet having that time to take a picture and post that. What is it? Friday, I'm in love every Friday. I love that. I absolutely love that on Instagram. Anybody follow Jared Easley on Instagram because they're the most beautiful pictures you'll ever see. And they're just like, they're so heartwarming. But how do you work at this point? Like, can you walk us through, say, a morning routine?
John, I'm going to say real quick about Friday I'm in love. Thanks for pointing that out. There are people who follow me on social media that will never listen to my podcast, that will never pay to go to that conference, that'll never buy my book, but they love those pictures. And so, you know, I think that breaks some rules. Some people in marketing will say you got to be real specific with your message. And I subscribe to that to a point, but I also try to be human on social media. And that's what Friday I'm in love is about. So that said, I am a family guy and I want my family to have time with me and vice versa. But there's also work to be done. So what I've learned in the beginning when I started my podcast, I just put so much time into it that my wife made a joke one day and said, the podcast is your mistress. And while it was kind of a funny joke, it was like, ouch, you know, I don't really want my wife saying that because that's not really cool. You know, I shouldn't be spending more time on something like that than my family. And that gave me the reality check of I need to batch stuff. And so that's one good thing that I can share with your listeners is there are things in your business, there are things in your workflow that you can be smart about and you can batch that and do that maybe on collectively on one day. So you're not having to do it again for several days or even several weeks, depending on how extensive the project is. So for me, I podcast and I'll try to schedule several conversations ahead of time, get those recorded, then I'll just kind of leak those out over a few weeks and then I'll do it again, rinse and repeat. But that's nice for me because then I'm not having to spend a lot of time going through interviews. And my wife just knows, okay, on this particular day of the month, that's kind of interview day. That's the way it works. And so, but that's something I just started in the last few months. I used to just kind of take them when I could and whatever. And now I realize that's probably not the best way for me to do it moving forward. The other secret is, and then we'll get to the morning stuff, but the other secret is, not trying to do everything yourself, John, and I'm sure you know this, you can only do so much, you're just one person. And it makes sense to strategically link arms with people. And I'm sure for people who have a bigger business, they know you can't do everything yourself. You got to have a team. And so I have a team. I have a virtual assistant who's my project manager and her name is Koo. And I have regular conversations with Koo and Koo knows my workflow with my podcast and different things that I'm up to. And she helps me stay on top of that. She helps me stay on task. And she has a couple people underneath her that help me with various things that are related to WordPress or that are related to podcasting or that are related to, you know, different things that I need to prepare for. And yeah, thank goodness for that, because until I had that, I really struggled with that, John. In fact, I still struggle with some things just because of the demand. You know, there's always something to do. There's always something to try. And you've been unbelievably patient and gracious with me, because you and I probably should have had this conversation months ago, but we're just now.
You were able a little preoccupied. You were a little preoccupied for the summer.
Well, but I want your listeners to understand this, that, you know, even though you get busy and even though you have things come up, it's so nice to have good connections with people like you, Jen, because you're patient, you're understanding of that. And why wouldn't I want to come on and talk with you or get to know you better or be your friend or whatever? Of course I would, because you get it. You're in the trenches. I'm in the trenches. We want to work together and help each other out. And that's the way it is. So I have a team. The podcast movement was not by myself. That was a group. There's four of us that are co-founders of that event. And we had a lot of help and we planned for several months and got as good advice as we could. We had to be creative in some things. And so to pretend that, hey, that was all me, that would be ridiculous. And I'd have hundreds of people call me out on that, because that's not true. But I definitely knew that in order to pull off something big, I had to have a group of people. And so Gary Leland, Mitch Todd, and Dan Franks are the team. And I'll give a special mention to Dan Franks. He was our MVP. That guy just went above and beyond. And he was absolutely relentless in podcast movement. And a big portion of its success, I have to say, wouldn't have played out the way it did if we hadn't had Dan on our team.
Nice. That's excellent. I like that. So, yeah, I appreciate the fact that teams are always a huge part of it. And when I say that, like, you created this thing, I mean, you were a part of it and you're part of the creation process of the idea, right? But you don't
Yes.
have to execute on everything. That's how, I mean, I can say that, oh, I built this piece of software. It's like, well, I don't know how to write a line of code. Obviously, I didn't build it, right? Obviously, I put up this website. It's like, well, I don't know how to put up a website necessarily, but I know how to get people to a team and get them to do these things. And we all work together, right? So that's kind of what I meant about it. And that's true. But I really, really want to not skip this question, because your morning routine for a work day, let's say, I really would like to know, say, your first 30 minutes of your day and how you set yourself up to get the stuff you need done to run these businesses, yet then also have all this time for your family and be, most importantly, a family man.
Okay. So the morning routine is, I recognize the season that I'm in, John, and that answer may not resonate with some of the listeners, but if you've got a family and you've got a child, some people are going to understand, man. You want to get up at 5 a.m. and do this amazing workflow and all this. That is not always possible when you have small children. And so I recognize the season that I'm in. But if I can get up early, I do try to get up early. And I'm a Christian. And so I do read my Bible every day. I have an app on my phone that I read. After that, you know, I'm getting up. I'm getting something to eat. And then I'm trying to tackle eat that frog, right? I'm sure you've heard of that book. I'm trying to tackle the thing I really don't want to do. So if it's some article I got to write, or it's something that I owe somebody in terms of, some kind of report or some kind of information I promised I'd help them get. Those are just a couple things that just happened to me in the last day. So that's why I'm those. Cause I was thinking, oh, I don't really want to write this article right now. But if I get up and I really work at it, then I got most of it done. I had to give a report to my business partner about some different ideas for something that we're going to test up in coming up in January. Want to do that either, but you know, I needed to be done. So I got it done. And so, yeah, that's an ideal morning. But truthfully, John, if it's a late night or my daughter wakes up in the middle of the night, things, I may not be getting up as early as I'd like to. And then I just have to do my absolute best with the time that I have. And then, you know, there are times, John, when I have to depend on the grace of other people. Like sometimes I've missed stuff and I've had to come back and say, hey, I'm sorry, John, you know, I wasn't able to do this and I can get to you by this time. And I don't like to make a habit of that, but that sometimes happens. And I think you have to allow yourself, you know, you try your best to set yourself up for success, but sometimes you're going to have to adjust. And I've had to adjust a lot. And thankfully, I have people who are patient and I get them what they need, but they're gracious and supportive of me on the days when I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. So,
yeah. And it sounds like you've reached a point where now you don't like beat yourself up over the fact that maybe you don't have a super productive morning tomorrow or today. That's
totally fine, and just something that we have to learn to become comfortable with.
Okay, Jared, let's try and move on to doubts and fears. I'm looking forward to this because you're Mr. Star of the Doubts. So one of our biggest fears as entrepreneurs is being wrong or not knowing the answer to something possibly. Can you tell me, let's talk podcast movement, because you guys did something really, really big and really, really successful, but probably walking through it, can you tell me what your biggest doubt or fear even was that you had about the podcast movement as you were currently in the middle of it, like before the actual event?
John, I mean, I never put on a big event like this. And I remember when I first had the idea for podcast movement, I was thinking, well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough experience. I don't have the connections. I mean, there was a lot of doubt. But the good news is I had had enough conversations through my podcast where I knew, you know, there's different strategies to overcome that. And as long as you're being smart about it, you should take steps, right? So when I heard multiple people in different times, different places at a conference in January, a New Media Expo, I heard multiple people say, why is a podcast conference? And I knew, okay, that's the market. People want this. How do we create this? How do I do it? And I knew there's no way I could try to tackle something like that by myself. And I mentioned my business partners earlier. I connected with Gary and Dan, and we had a conversation with Philip Taylor, who's the founder of FinCon. That's the Financial Bloggers Conference. Philip was just a very generous guy to come on my podcast. And I had a conversation with him a couple months before that, where he had shared his experience of starting a conference from scratch. And so I knew it could be done because I knew someone who'd done it and he'd had success with it. So we had a phone call with him. He was very generous to give us an hour of his time. I still am amazed that he did that. He didn't charge us. We just asked him, hey, if you started all over, knowing what you know now, you've done this several, you know, a couple of years and they've been successful, what would you do starting from scratch? And he said, well, here's what I would do. And he laid it out for us in that phone call. And so at that point, we knew enough to get started. But what we still didn't know was whether the market wanted it for sure and were they willing to pay for it. And that's when we adapted the strategy of marketing before you manufacture. And I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs will be familiar with this, is you don't actually just go create something that you don't know the market's going to pay for. So you want to test the market. You want to validate the idea. So we use Kickstarter to do that. That's crowdfunding. We put together a Kickstarter campaign. But then our next challenge, John, which is kind of funny, is there wasn't a history of successfully funded events. So that was another challenge. Like, oh man, most people who've had events who tried this have failed. So how are we going to look at another event to kind of copy and mimic what they've done? And we couldn't really find a good example. So we had to get creative. We knew, okay, we got to do a Kickstarter campaign so that people can support it or not. And we need the best possible structure for the campaign. So we looked at different movies, different campaigns that were successfully funded, borrowed from that, got advice from people who've had Kickstarter campaigns, people who failed and people who were successful. And then we put together the best plan that we could based on what we knew. And then we didn't have an email list, John. So some of your listeners are going to cringe hearing that. Oh, no email list. Like, you got to have an email list. What are you thinking? And we were told that, like, you can't be successful with Kickstarter unless you already have an existing email list. And well, we didn't have that, John. But what we did have was good friends like you, you know, people in the podcasting community. And we reached out to those people. We said, would you be willing to support this? Would you be willing to speak at it? Would you be willing to share it? And we had enough people say yes that we launched the campaign. We needed to raise $11,000 to book a small venue in Addison, which is a suburb of Dallas. And in 9 hours of being live on Kickstarter, we reached $11,000. And it was like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? And then, you know, for some people, 11 grand, they'd be like, oh, that's, you know, make that in a day or whatever. But that's not me. And that wasn't my business partners.
Right.
So we were very, very humbled that we were able to do that. You know, the generosity of the community came together. We felt very blessed. And then at the end of the 30-day campaign, we had over $30,000. More validation. We had outgrown that small conference center in Addison already, just in an idea on Kickstarter. We'd already outgrown it and we had to move to a bigger hotel conference center. And that was another challenge altogether. There was a number of times throughout this process, John, where we could have turned back and be like, this is just too much. This isn't worth it. You know, we're not going to make enough money. We're not going to, you know, can we really pull this off? Is it? There could have been many times when we said, this isn't going to happen. Let's just stop. And I'm so glad that we didn't do that. We decided, no, this is for the community. We believe in this. We want to make this happen. And we followed the process. And it was a lot of work, John. It was a lot to do. But you fast forward to August, we sold 600 tickets to an event that never existed and held it in Dallas, Texas. And it was a huge success. We had, you know, just so many podcasters there. And we had people say this, you know, not just my podcast, but my business is now, you know, I've got new ideas for my business. I had some people say, hey, I'm going to actually stop this one thing that I'm doing because it's no longer what I need to do. I need to focus on this other thing. And I thought, well, that's a powerful moment of clarity for that person. And that came from conversations with fellow attendees. That was something that helped their business. So while Podcast Movement is not just focused on business, it's a podcasters conference. There was some powerful entrepreneur conversations that stemmed from that. And then there were some people said, you know, I don't want a podcast. I'm not ready to do that. But just being around people who are movers, people who are making things happen and who will say, here's how I'm doing it, and being generous with that, that was compelling enough for them to come to that event, which I thought was interesting. So anybody who's listening and say, I don't have an interest in podcasting, but I just want to surround myself with people who are winning, who are taking things seriously, who really are making moves and who share how they do that. And that's the community that we have at Podcast Movement. So yeah, it's amazing to see how something started in January as an idea and then it evolved and happened this past August of 2014. And we've already announced our dates for next year. It's going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, the first weekend of August, 2015. And Pat Flynn from smartpassiveincome.com is going to be our opening keynote.
Yeah. And that's, I've seen Pat Flynn speak before and he's good. He's really good. I think you guys were still, the conference was just wrapping up and you'd already announced that. I was like, that's impressive. Like you guys are on it. It's cool. And I find it interesting, Jared, listening to your story, because it seems like, so there's this doubt or fear at the beginning because you're like, well, we don't have any experience. We don't have the connections. We don't have an email list. All these things of why maybe we shouldn't do this. And then there was probably a turning point where maybe it was like, oh my God, this thing's getting bigger than maybe. And now there could also be a new fear that maybe this is like too big for us. Maybe we can't handle this. And it just seems funny how it could evolve so quickly from, well, maybe we could get like 50 people to show up somewhere to like, oh my God, we have 600 people coming. We need like this giant venue. We need so like to orchestrate so much of it. I find the evolution of probably the different fears and levels of fears you probably went through and obviously went through them successfully. And that's impressive. That's really, really impressive.
Fear hates community. So that's my encouragement to your listeners is when you have those doubts, when you have those fears, if you're talking to your mastermind group or smart people in your network, and getting good advice from them, that is always a good policy. That's always a smart way to go. And then, you know, if the market is voting with their wallet, you'll know if something is going to happen or not. And if it is, then you do your best. And we told people up front, this is year one, we're going to do our best. And we made that very clear and people came and we did our best and people had a good time and there was room for improvement. But, you know, we could have pulled off what we thought was the perfect 10. There still would have been a few people that didn't think that. So that's life. That's the way it works. But we had a great time.
Exactly. And so many of us are so thankful that you guys did. It's really, really great. So Jared, let's just wrap this up with you, lifestyle is a big part of it because of your family again. And I don't mean to harp on that, but it really is true to me and dear to me. I really resonate with that. But can you tell me what your favorite part is of the life you've now designed around a business online?
It's still a work in progress, John. So I don't want to fool your listeners into thinking that I've got every possible angle figured out because I don't. And there are weeks when my wife and I are having to have that conversation of, okay, what's next? And how are we doing this? And I got to say, man, I'm in the trenches just like a lot of your listeners. So we've had some wins and that's encouraged us to continue to take steps and be smart. But yeah, not every day is this perfect, you know, lifestyle where we can just wake up at noon and you know what I mean? It's not like that.
Oh, totally. But, yeah. And so, I mean, my life's not like that either. And I'm not assuming that yours is, but you've still, it's still on your terms, as in maybe you're not making as much money as you want to. It's sometimes maybe you're not doing all the things you want to, but it's up to you, all of it. It's because you did it. It's because you are doing it that any of it exists. And to me, that's pretty amazing. And there has to be some times when you're just like at the park with your daughter and just like, yeah, this is my favorite part. This is why I do this, because it's 2 p.m. and I'm here with like the perfect little girl.
Well, that is absolutely true, John. So I will say I'm very serious about doing what needs to be done, but I'm also very intentional about taking time with the family. And, you know, we went to Orlando this weekend. I live in South Florida, but my sister and her family live up there. My mom flew down from Atlanta. And, you know, that wasn't no big deal. That was a normal thing. We just got together with them. I put the laptop away and we had a weekend where we just spent time with family. And now it's Tuesday and it's back at it. So, you know, we kind of are strategic with how we schedule stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to picking up my daughter after this interview, and she and I are going to go to the playground. So it's going to be a good time.
Oh, excellent. I'm doing the same thing. So thank you, Jared. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you coming. Can you just share with the listeners where they can find out more about Jared Easley?
One of the best places to look is the podcast. And if you, first of all, your listeners should continue to subscribe to your podcast and hit play on this, because it's going to encourage you to consider new ideas and have those different things that pop up and say, hey, I can do this, or I'm going to try this. So keep hitting play on this podcast. And then if you have time for a second podcast, I have one called Starve the Doubts. You're welcome to check it out. It's Starve, like you're hungry, starvethedoubts.com. And then for anyone who's saying, hey, I want to be around high achievers, I want to be around a good, generous community, whether I'm interested in podcasting or not, Podcast Movement is a place to do that. And that's podcastmovement.com.
Yes. Excellent. And Jared is on Twitter. He's quite active. And as he said earlier, you should reach out and say hi to him on Twitter. Tell him you heard him here. And also, yeah, maybe share some of his content. His podcast, if his didn't exist, this wouldn't exist.
So. Well, that's true or not, John. I am grateful to be your friend and honored to be on your show, and look forward to having more conversations with you and continuing to grow together, man, making big things happen.
Yeah, me too, Jared. Thank you so much and take care.
My pleasure.
Jared Easley, I appreciate so much the fact that you came on here, and I cannot wait to meet you in person at the Podcast Movement 2015. It's going to be a blast. So what do you think? On his path to success? Yeah, I would say so. 2014 was a big year for Jared. I think 2015 is going to be... If 2014 wasn't his breakout year, it probably was, but 2015 is going to be some big things behind this guy. I just have a feeling, just from following him on social media and the bit I do get to talk to him, yeah, he's ready to do some cool stuff. So he said a lot of interesting things, didn't he? He did. But he said one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
If you want to get noticed, you have to start by noticing other people. And there's some folks that miss that. So what that means to me is, if you have your target person, your target listener, your target audience, and you can connect with that person, let's pretend they have a blog for a minute. If you go and read their blog and you comment on that blog post and then tweet that out and tag their name, they're going to appreciate that, especially if they're kind of newer to blogging. But most people appreciate it when you comment on their blog post and you share it out.
And that's the hack. Jared, so well said and so true. And what I really like is that, Jared, if you go follow him on Twitter, and you will see he absolutely does this. I have never seen somebody tweet other people's content, other people's stuff so much. I don't think anybody has ever sent out more Hack the Entrepreneur episodes via Twitter than Jared has. It's amazing. It's one of the ways I've got and made such a connection myself with Jared. And he's not just saying that, this isn't just like a tactic he came up with, like, oh, you should do this, and then he goes and does something else. No, he absolutely does this. Follow Jared on Twitter, and it's amazing. And he's right. You don't go for just the biggest, oh, he's got a million followers, I'm going to try and get his attention. It's like, no, just there's so many people out there with such great stuff and great content and that are really on their way up. And it's great to get noticed by them and to have them notice you, your stuff, and just to truly be trying to help other people. And Jared, I just love it. I love the way you said it, and I love how you actually believe it and live it. And thank you so much for that hack. So this was it. We did it. 2014 wrapped up. If you're listening to this in 2015, I think it's going to be a good year, but this is the final episode of 2014 for Hack the Entrepreneur. And I want to thank each and every one of you out there for making it so amazing for me. I have like 220 or something reviews on iTunes, 5 stars. It blows my mind. I love going there to read it. But if you haven't yet, could you make my year or my day today? Go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. And or if you're just on your phone and you have it, you can leave a review just in iTunes for me. Leave an honest review. If you get a chance, drop in your Twitter handle, your at, your name, so I can find you and I can thank you and I can follow you on Twitter. I would love to do that. And I truly, truly appreciate it. Those reviews help so much to boost that up the rankings, to get noticed by more people, to get more listeners, and to get even more amazing guests on the show. We have an amazing 2015 coming. I already have 15 or 20 interviews already recorded that are going to, I think they're going to really, really, really be awesome because I think they're great and I think you're going to love them. And we have some cool stuff coming up in the new year for you. So thank you so much again. I do truly appreciate it. If you want, just reach out to me. John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com is my email. Come straight to my phone. I would love to hear from you. I would truly, truly love it. This has been fun. Of course, 2014 is now complete for Hack the Entrepreneur. Until next time, until next year, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.